You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Let us try that again.
Dwayne, good morning.
David, welcome to the show. Are we too early for you?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
Fine. How was your weekend?
It was good. And yours?
Great. Thank you. I try to spend my weekends as best as I can having nothing to do with the markets so that when I come back, I'm ready to go and reinterested because we sure spend a lot of time on them during the week, as you do as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so let's get started. Let's take a look. First of all, and most importantly, we have been calling for a July 16th daily top and the turning point calendar in our system. And this is unusual because it's neither an inversion, which can and does happen from time to time. It's a small percentage of times, but it does happen. An inversion is where a top, the market would be going up and would suddenly pivot like it was going to reverse, and then over the next several days creates a whole new leg up. And that whole new leg up is expressing that energy that we were expecting on the downside in the reverse direction, on the up direction.
Okay.
But this is not an inversion, because this market did not was not able to do what I just described. It's a little bit difficult to say it verbally what it does to produce an inversion. But it didn't do that, so it's neither an inversion. It's just a wrong call. It's just, you know, we had, under normal conditions, what this means to us technically, the fact that they were able to get higher, is that something bigger than what we are measuring was driving this market higher. And so it is...
David?
We had neither an inversion or the normal turn that we called happen at one of these turns since we've been doing this in the product and since we've had the turning point calendar. So this is unusual. My best way of describing this is that something larger, a larger wave than what we were measuring, is actually moving up on the upside here. So the market was able to break to new recent.
David?
Yes, are you there?
Yeah, I've lost you.
Are you ready?
I've lost you a couple times.
Okay.
But I can hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, if that happens again, then call back, because I don't want to have, I know that can be annoying to have the people, the breakups and all that.
All right.
Breaking up is hard to do. Anyway, this, by making a new high, this is the earliest confirmation now of our forecast. For quite some time, we've been forecasting a month of July monthly top, and we had talked earlier that it looked like it may have come in 1 month early, but we did go up and make a new high, which now is the earliest confirmation for this July monthly top. So in doing this, in actually going against what our forecast was for the top on the 16th, it went up and now confirmed the longer term top, and markets are often tricky at these larger turning points, and this is definitely unusual behavior and could be considered part of the trickiness that might occur at a longer term top, like the July top that we're talking about. We still could make new highs, and I'm not making an outright forecast for that, but we still could go on to new highs in July, and next week in the weekend's report, we're going to publish what some of the targets are on the upside in case the market is able to break out, in spite of today's reversal. If the market is able to break out on the upside, what some of those other targets, which are not very far from where we are, but they're important targets nonetheless. If we are able to get to those new highs and reach those targets, those would be excellent starting points for the larger monthly turn that we've talked about a number of times for the month of July. Also, you had emailed me, one of our good subscribers from the past had mentioned, based on Friday's, my discussion with you, about our turning point calendar, and I did fail to mention that we have something called inversions, which can occur at turning points. So again, when the turning point calendar calls for a top or a bottom, and I've probably called, I don't know, maybe 10 of them on your show, since we've been doing this. I don't know how many I've called, but it's been a decent number of times where I've called for market tops and bottoms.
I think it's probably a whole lot more than that.
Okay, but whatever number it is, during a certain small percentage of those, we'll call for a top, and the market will do an inversion at that point, making it actually a pullback. Let's say we were looking for a top, a pullback in an ongoing uptrend. So it actually appears on the chart as a pivot low in an ongoing uptrend. That's called an inversion. It happens a small percentage of the times, but it does happen, and over the last 2 years, it has happened a number of times. It's probably happened, I don't know, I don't want to put a number on it because I don't want to, I haven't really checked it out, but it's a small percentage of times, and I don't believe it's happened during the period that I've given you these on the, on the radio program. I can't remember. I don't think we've had one, but generally speaking, it's relatively rare, but it happens enough, and you have to be ready for it on any of these turns. This one happens to not be an inversion, so it's unusual in that it's neither an inversion nor correct. So,
from being an inversion? I mean, could by the time today's Tuesday, by the time we talk Thursday, could this in fact have become an inversion at that point?
No, it has to be an inversion and do it all in the plus or minus 1 day period.
Okay, all right.
So it doesn't. It's far past that right now. So what they've done here is simply unusual, and it simply means that this is a good example of we have to protect ourselves at all times in market positions. Even if the market were to come back and ultimately, come down strong from here over a multi-day decline, that's not a good way to trade, as we've talked about so many times. We really don't want to be holding on to positions hoping. And I myself was in a position based short on this top, and I had to take that position off, and I am delighted that I am a human being that can do that, which, in other words, that I'm not stuck in the mentality that you have to hold and hope. If you're wrong, you just be wrong. It's easier to be wrong if you know that when you placed the position, you weren't being frivolous. You weren't fooling around with the market. I have found that if you will really wait for the positions to confirm for you, wait for your best work to happen, whatever that is in your case or another person's case, when you take a position, if it ends up not being right, if the market doesn't confirm like this does, it's easier to take it off because you really did take your best work and put it out there. If, on the other hand, you do something frivolous, for some reason when you do something frivolous and you start the position with a frivolous outlook, well, you know what? You end up treating it frivolously later, and you end up holding on to losing positions. So I've mentioned this before, that everything we put out is our best work. And because of that, that has helped me in my trading as well to not be frivolous on the front end, and therefore I'm not frivolous on the back end, meaning on exiting the position when I should. And if the market reconfirms, I'm more than happy to reshort or, get in that position again. And
Friday afternoon, I sat here going into the close with my hand on my mouse, and I was going to take the trade and go short into the close. I don't hold positions overnight. I certainly don't hold positions over the weekend. And I was about to do something that was out of character.
Mm-hmm.
So I made myself get up, walk away from my desk, went down the hall, went into the bathroom, and looked at myself in the mirror. And I said, "What are you looking to achieve? What's your objective here?"
Mm-hmm.
You're about to do something that is outside of your business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came up with was thrill-seeking.
The
adrenaline rush of, being pumped all weekend and then coming in Monday morning to the open and seeing the market down 20 points.
Right.
And going, "Oh, yeah." But then I said, "Well, what if that doesn't happen?" Yeah, and so I literally had to talk myself down from this.
Yeah.
And I came in and put my hand back on my mouse and closed my trading platform.
Okay.
And I did not enter the trade. In hindsight,
yes,
that was a smart thing to do. But
yeah,
what was even smarter was to recognize the motives for what I was about to do and then making the proper decision not to do it. Not because the market went up or down. That's not even the point here.
Right. The point is that if you're doing something for the wrong motivations, if it's not your best work, or if you are following somebody, if you did follow me, you would have taken a loss on that position. But the point I was making before, and I think you're kind of tying it in with it, is that you don't want to be frivolous. And if you are frivolous on the front end, it tends to make you frivolous on the way that you manage the position as well. And I have found that to be true for myself. It's a psychological follow-through of whatever you start. You tend to finish the same way you started it. So, you know, it's almost like a guy in a bar yelling something out to somebody and being rude, and he started out rude, and he's going to end rude. He's not going to say, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm just, you know, I'm drunk or whatever." No, he's not going to do that. He's going to, however he started it, he's going to finish that. And that's what we tend to do as traders as well. So the point is that we have to always protect ourselves and, you know, don't trade frivolously. We've talked about this before. Take your best opportunities, the ones that come along one or two or three times in a day if you're day trading, or three times a week if you're trading on the longer term. So this is one of the turning points, but again, we've given you a large number of them over the years. You can see that they're very useful to see and trade off of. In fact, this whole advance came off of the July 7th bottom, which was a beautiful bottom, and the market, of course, came one day late for that and reversed powerfully and gave us this big uptrend. Not that any of us would have necessarily held the position that long, but it was a great example of these turning points in motion, and these are larger trades, longer-term trades for people who are comfortable and willing to hold positions on the overnight. I happen to be willing to hold positions on the overnight and am more than willing to risk more because the gains in these overnight positions can be sizable, as you know. So let's take a look, though, just real quick, unless you have anything else you want to cover with that subject, let's take a quick look at today's action. We did break out the new recent highs.
Well, yeah, let me just in case anyone listening thinks there is a 900-pound pink elephant in the room, I want to clarify this. What prompted me on Friday to ask you how often these turning points are accurate? I don't know. I've never asked you that question before. Mm-hmm. I believe that you gave me an honest answer.
Mm-hmm. I did.
You did, and I believe that. So here we have a turning point that didn't turn out the way we thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
What prompted me on Friday to ask that question? Well, as David has said a little differently perhaps at times, there is something bigger at work in this whole scheme of life. This whole thing we call life, there's something bigger at work than any of us are really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying I have ESP? No. Intuition? I'm not putting any label on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying something prompted me to ask that question on a day when, in fact, it looked like everything was going to work out just fine. And for whatever reason, it didn't. I don't think that's coincidence. I don't really know what it is.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. I'm not sure either what it is, but I do know that had you taken a trade, and if you were routinely trading daily turning points, like many of our subscribers do, you would have taken your loss, and you would have either repositioned yourself later, if the market later confirmed, which it did not, or you would just simply wait for the next trade, wait for the next either intraday trade or turning point. And that's just part of trading. Yeah, the real point is to manage the downside and not hold on and hope. This is an issue that I struggled for many, many years with, which is to take positions, hold on to them, be right a number of times, but then the one time that you're wrong, you end up holding on to a position until it makes you lose effectively all the money that you gained being correct. And that's so bad, that's such a wrong way to trade that, and in spite of the fact that it is so wrong, I wasn't able to stop myself from doing that for many, many years. So my psychology was very bad with regard to that. No matter how good your technical analysis is, at some point you'll be wrong. And if you're going to hold on to a position until you're made right, you could be wrong for hundreds of points, as some people have been.
Yeah.
Right? Some people have gone short, way down below, and they have a big enough account. Let's just say theoretical trader Joe, and he's holding on, waiting for the market to come back down to 850, just as an example. That's no way to trade. That really isn't. You have to count on at some point that you will be wrong, no matter what type of analysis you use. But that's not the big problem. The big problem is holding on to the losing position. And even professional traders sometimes will get stuck in a position, stuck meaning they didn't take it off when it was easy to, and when they knew to, they hold on to. And then we've gone over this so many times, they end up really hurting themselves badly or pushing themselves entirely out of the business. So that's not something that we want to do. So in this particular case, the market did go higher. This is something that in our technical work, because it was not an inversion, and because it also just popped up higher, something larger than what we are measuring was occurring in the market, and we did have higher prices occur here, which is unusual. It's very unusual. I don't think I remember this happening in all the trades that we've called for you, or all the turning points we've called for you on the radio.
It was the plunge protection team.
What's that?
It was the plunge.
Oh, yeah. Now you want your conspiracy theory to finally come through. All right, Dwayne, you win. It's a conspiracy. It's the plunge protection team. You win. You got me. They took the market higher before. Now, where are they now? The market's plunging lower. Where's your protection team now? Anyway, if we can, let's take a quick glance.
Sure.
Let's go over to soybeans real quick. And I don't know how much time you have real quick.
Oh, we got time. Whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, it's not real long. I just wanted to take a quick look. We had a nice setup in soybeans today, and our subscribers shorted soybeans today. I'm not even sure exactly I remember what the number was, but we got short earlier in the morning, and I'll tell you exactly where it was. It was at $9.23 in the November contract, and we exited that position. The market subsequently swung up to about 9.24 or so, and then we exited that position down at around 9.13. So we made, on two contracts, we made about 13 cents on that, which is equivalent to 13 points in the S&P.
Nice.
Again, this is a great market for both intraday trading and longer-term trading, the soybean market is, and we really encourage people to take a look at that market for themselves, just for their own trading, just to see if there's something there that can be helpful to you so you have two markets to trade. Soybeans is similar in many ways to the S&P because it does move. It pays $50 per cent per penny of movement, and as the S&P moves a dollar, it pays 50. So $50 per dollar, $50 per point. So we'll see. Let's let them continue. Back to the soybeans real quick. So the soybeans, I'm very happy to say that we had a successful trade in that, but I'm also would like to encourage people to take a look at that market for themselves and see if that's not something that they can take advantage of. Last week, I think we did close to 38 cents or something in that market. That's equivalent to 38 S&P points. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but in the soybean report, it shows all the trades we took. And there's just two trades. We usually take one to three trades per week in that market, so it's a slower boat in that market. But sometimes soybean market is actually much more volatile than the S&P is in most cases. So we encourage people to take a look at that. And I've offered this before, and I want to offer again to your listeners that they can come to pagetrader.com, give us a call, just identify themselves as a CFRN listener, and we'd be very happy to give them a full week of the Soybean Messenger. If they call up today, we can turn them on today and get the rest of the week. They can take a look at the trades we took this morning or the trade we took today, get the soybean report, and follow through the rest of the week and see if it's not something that's useful in their trading. We usually risk 3 to 5 cents in that market, so $150 to $250 per trade we're risking in that market in order to make, to attempt anywhere from a 10 to a 40 cent move, depending on market forecasts and things like that. For today, let's switch back to the S&P. We're now continuing down. We are testing 939, which is listed in resistance panel 940/39. This is a relatively important level. and we're coming to a point in the day now, at this point in time on this hour, that we are getting closer to what we would consider to be an important hourly turning point, and that would mean that we could buy something a little bit later today. We did attempt to short the market several times today, but it's been a very compressed downtrend. We were not quite able to get stopped or limited in. We use buy and sell limits to get in these trades, so we're still waiting right now for an entry in this market. So many people will use the support and resistance numbers that are listed in our panel to help them put their own trades on. We break it down into initial support and more important support, initial resistance and more important resistance. We're now at 939 at the third level of initial support for today. So just for people who want to know, these are relatively close levels today, just the way the market lays out. The next level below this is 937. So any test of 937 in today's market would be important as well. But we'll see how they handle this hour that we're in right now.
Would it be important or more important?
It would be more important. Thank you, Dwayne. It would be more important support for today if we get down to the 937's 36 level. And so we'll see. Let's let them do that. We'll take a trade based on this. You know, we're in the middle. I wanted to mention this as well. We're kind of getting close to the middle of summer. And summer is a period that the market's volatility generally goes down.
Dries up,
and the volume does to some extent as well. The markets are slower in movement. Look how slow this market has been in just creeping down. It doesn't have that same sharp snap that the market has in the winter and even in the spring. So it may take a little bit. It may not be as easy to get into a position if you're using stops or limits to get in, because the market moves slowly, may not be able to reach that number, may take some time and then come back to it. This, you know, backing and filling type of action that can make getting into a position more difficult. So you just have to understand that the summertime is slower, and we've seen that over, you know, the last 10 years that we've been doing this, that the summer is slow, and we're right getting close to the middle of it now. So you may see, it may be not a bad time to take a break from the markets if it does slow down. You know, get outside, ride a bicycle.
David, it's 115 degrees here, buddy.
I know. Hey, listen, it is
amazing. If I go out to ride a bicycle, I'll get to like the end of my driveway and then fall over.
Well, I want to tell you, it's currently it's 86 here. Is it really? Let me take a look. You're in Phoenix. Actually,
yes.
It's 82 in Phoenix, Dwayne. I'm sorry.
What?
And that's
I haven't been outside yet today.
It's showing me on my iPhone that your high today is going to be 107. Now, these are forecasts as well, so maybe they haven't got it right, but it's showing 82. I know you want your listeners to feel sorry for you, and a lot of us do, Dwayne, but no.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for that turning point on my calendar in October.
Right. Oh, yes, exactly. but it is showing 82 right now for you, and this was updated at 10:15.
Well, we had a storm last night. In fact, it was one of those microburst crazy. It's just a storm from hell. It comes out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Not a lot of water, but the winds and the, oh, it's. I bought my wife for Mother's Day. She wanted one of these gazebo things for the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was $500 at Home Depot, and then, you know, like 19 hours in the backyard trying to assemble this silly thing.
Yeah.
Looks gorgeous. I mean, this was nice, man. It even had a little chandelier that hung inside.
Yeah, I think you'll be happy with it. It's actually a very nice thing.
No, we were happy with it until last night.
It blew over.
And the wind, it's like a twist of... It's like a twisted chunk of steel now.
Oh,
it's like Superman just grabbed it and just went. Yeah, those are that's weather in Phoenix in the summer when these monsoons come. You guys don't get that in Vegas, do you?
We don't get the monsoons, and I have seen firsthand the monsoons. I've been in up in Pine, Arizona, where Payson is, about 90 miles north of Phoenix, and I've been up there on the weekends, and I have seen where it's a very clear day, beautiful day, and 15 minutes later, it's raining so hard that it actually hurts. And if you're sitting on somebody's deck looking out at it, the wind can blow so hard that the rain is actually blowing sideways. Mm. So it's blowing right on you. It doesn't matter where you are. Intense lightning and thunder, all out of nowhere. And I happen to, I mean, I love that. I love the vitality of it and just how, you know, the humidity of it and all the beautiful things that rain brings. But it is shocking how fast they come on. They really are monsoons. You really are sitting doing, you know, sitting outside flying a kite, and 15 minutes later, you're running for your life.
I'm with you 100% in that I enjoy the raw energy of nature, but looking at the damage and destruction that's left in the wake of it, my wife looked at me last night. We're in a backyard trying to put things back together and bring in things that aren't destroyed yet, and she's like, do we have to live here? And I was like, no, quite frankly, we don't. Pick a place and we'll go there. I mean, I'm not chained to this city for any particular reason, you know?
No. My daughter has asked me the same question about Las Vegas because it does get so hot out here. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
And your answer is?
My answer is, that's the wisdom of youth right there. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be doing this to ourselves. I want to answer with a better answer than that, but she's right. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Anyway, so, yeah, the monsoons are beautiful. I would suggest that you bring that whole piece that you purchased back, drag it to the front of, where did you buy it? At Home Depot?
Actually, I bought it at Lowe's, but... Yeah.
Lowe's. Just bring your receipt and say, look, there was some shipping damage with this. I'm not sure what happened to it, but when it got to my house, it didn't look the same. Could we get another one?
You know, I think that they should make it good because, I mean, this is the first storm of the season. We put it up on Mother's Day. I mean, you know...
Dwayne?
Yeah. Yeah. David? 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 These iPhones are not what they're cracked up to be. David? Are you there, David? Oh,
Dwayne, I can't hear you.
I know.
Hi, this is David. I'm sorry I'm not available right now. Please leave your name and telephone number.
Oh my goodness, somebody got hurt. Hey, sorry about that, friends.
Hi, this is David. I'm sorry I'm not available right now.
Okay, all right, I've had enough. David, hopefully somebody in the office is listening to the broadcast and they will extend my apologies to you. But I think we both said all we could say. We had disintegrated into talking about the weather like a couple of old men. So with that, I'm going to sign off, friends. I got stuff I got to do. Not stuff I really want to do, but that's life, right? There's stuff that you do because it needs to be done. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in, whoever you are. And for those of you that actually read the blog whenever I put something out there and who have prayed for my brother through this entire illness, I want to thank you for that very, very much. And my brother thanks you. And we saw a new surgeon yesterday who actually held out a ray of hope and told my brother that, you know, the first surgeon was just, he's so negative. He just, you know, a talented guy. I've done research on him. He's written a lot of papers. He's kind of an important guy in the world of surgical oncology. But just sort of a depressing fellow. So, is that David calling back? Yeah, all right, I'll answer the phone. David.
Dwayne, I'm not sure if we're on the air, but I just
wanted to we are.
I didn't know what happened there. Maybe
I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
You know, I couldn't hear you at all. I heard a lot of clicking, and maybe that's something to do with your storms. Are you raining there now or no?
No, it's clear as a bell right now. What it has to do with, David, is AT&T.
Okay.
I don't like them.
Well, they don't apparently like you.
You're the one on the AT&T phone, buddy.
Oh, that's right. I'm the one with the iPhone.
Right. You know, I was with Sprint for so many years, and I didn't like them for a lot of different reasons, but I got to say, their service worked. Now that I got this AT&T phone, this iPhone, I can do incredible things. I can monitor my stock portfolio. I can, I can search Google with my voice. I can do all these incredible things, but I can't make a stinking phone call. David?
I think I'm losing you again.
All right, buddy.
Okay, yeah, I'm so sorry. You're clicking and breaking up. I hear that clicking sound. Listen, have a great evening.
You too, buddy.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
And we'll put something a little bit better together for the listeners tomorrow here. Thanks again.
Okay. Well, that turned into a complete train wreck, didn't it? So anyway, sorry, David. Go get a Sprint phone, I guess. I don't know. Is it just me? Well, apparently not. It's also David. These iPhones, man. What an incredible piece of technology. A computer in the palm of your hand. If only you could make a phone call with it. That would be so awesome. I may have to go back and get a Sprint phone so I can make phone calls. And then just use my AT&T, my iPhone, for all the cool apps. I don't know. I'll look like one of those really important guys in Starbucks who has 2 cell phones. And maybe I'll get a pager, too. Anyway, this surgeon, she was... I got to tell you, this is... My brother and I, you know how it works. You go to the doctor's office. It's a crowded waiting room. You wait and you wait. And they finally call you in. So my brother and I, we go. We're in this little room, I'm in the chair. He's sitting on the table. In walks this tall, blonde woman right out of a fashion magazine with the 9-inch heels and the black cocktail dress and the French manicure and the gold and the diamonds. And I'm like, I'm looking for the hidden camera, Like if we're on some kind of reality show, she's actually the doctor. And after talking with her, incredibly intelligent doctor, well-recognized doctor, and whereas my brother's original surgical oncology doctor is, a man of renown, but, just negative. All we can do at this point, the chemo's over, the radiation's over, all we can do now is go in, cut you from the front, cut you from the back, and just take everything out. End of story. Well, this lady yesterday, she looks at all the test results, and the MRIs, and the CAT scans, and the whatnot, and then she does an examination on the spot, and she says, I feel that there is a possibility that I can reconnect you and you will not be with this bag on your side the rest of your life. I think. She goes, I can't promise you. She goes, but I think there's a possibility. And I'll tell your surgeon that I think there's a possibility, because that's why we were there, was for the second opinion. And I spoke up and I said, hey, how about you take the job? You're the one with the hope. You're the one with the vision. You're the one that thinks it can be done. Will you take the job? And she goes, she looks at my brother. She goes, is that what you want? And he goes, yeah. So my brother has a new surgeon now. And so there's fresh hope. I mean, there's always hope because we've always got God. No matter how dark it gets outside, how much rain comes down, how hard the winds blow, there's always hope. It's our legacy. It's our inheritance as children of God. Hey, friends, I've rambled on enough. Got to go do all those things I don't really want to do. Thanks so much for tuning in, whoever you are and wherever you are. May God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.